Good morning. We've discussed in the past two shiurim the idea that an uman is a shomer sachar. You give a car to a mechanic, a seat to the cleaners, and they're working on it. He's an uman. So he has status of a shomer sachar. If it gets stolen, if it gets lost, the uman in general is going to be responsible to pay. Now this leads us to an interesting question. I'll start with two or three examples, and we'll see throughout the shiur how the slight differences in the case will how it changes the halacha. Case number one: you commissioned an artist to make a painting for you. You wanted a portrait of yourself, and now this artist was a very creative artist, but a bit moody, as artists tend to be. He worked hard, he made the painting, he was all proud of it, showed it to you. And it was pretty nice, but you started criticizing him. He got all insulted, he got all upset, took out a knife and slashed the painting. Now obviously, you're not going to pay him for the painting, because he didn't give you anything of value. The question is that you provided him with a canvas, you provided him with a paint. He worked for you, and made this painting, which I'm presuming is something of value. If he goes ahead and destroys what he created, can you just say, okay, I quit. I'm not working for you. Here's the value of your canvas. Here's the value of the paint that I used, and goodbye. Or perhaps not. Perhaps we can say that he made this painting. He took the canvas, he took the paint that was worth a minimal amount, and through working very hard, it's now worth a large amount of money. If he's mazik it, he can't simply just say, I'm sorry, and walk away. Perhaps you can send him a bill because he destroyed your portrait. Now, you'll have to subtract what you were supposed to pay him, but assuming that what he created was of greater value, then you should be able to send this person a bill. Now, to use a little bit of a more common case, person's in an accident, the car is totaled, the insurance pays him. But he has a friend, a Heimish mechanic, who says, you know what, bring me the car, $3,000, it'll be as good as new. Now, it isn't true, but bottom line is, you gave him the car, he goes ahead, he works on it, he does a great job, it's ready, it looks as good as new. But then, before you have a chance to pick it up off the lot, it gets stolen. He's negligent, he left the keys lying around, it gets stolen. So the question is like this. The question is, again, can the mechanic tell you, listen, you gave me a salvage piece of junk. As the insurance company said, it's not worth fixing. It's, you know, you can give it, its junk value is $500. I'm very sorry that your car got stolen, but here's the $500 that it was worth when you gave it to me. Or perhaps no. Perhaps you can say that, no, it's true I gave you something that was worth $500. It was just a scrap of metal. But you worked on it. You fixed it up, and by the time you finished, this is a car, perfectly good car, that was worth $5,000, $7,000. So it's true, I owe you. I'm gonna have to pay you for your work. But if it got stolen, and Gnev Avedei Shomer, and Uman's gonna be responsible for a $7,000 car got stolen. You owe me $7,000. I'll pay you for the amount for your labor. Here's your $3,000. But the difference comes back to me. Exactly. This is the sugya of umon kaino shvach kli. Dehainu, that when the person worked on it, he's the one that improved it. He took this scrap of metal, and through his work, he made it into a car. He made it he increased the value. So the Gemara declares, do we say umon kaino shvach kli? That when an umon works on an item, then, and he improves it, that the value of that improvement belongs to him. Umon kaino shvach kli. Or perhaps no. Perhaps he's just getting paid for his labor. But the owner of the car or the scrap of metal is the one who becomes the owner of whatever this improvement is. And this is the shiloh of uman koyne shvach kli. Now, the point that you're making happens to be an excellent point. The Rebbeinu Yohanan in the Shittim Gubetze says, the whole discussion of uman koyne shvach kli is when the change, it's a material enough change that it's a shinui which is koina. Now, as we learned in Hilchos Gzeila with Barichos, that someone, you steal some wood and you make it into a svarim shrank, into a table, that is a shinui hachoizer. when you owe the victim, you have to return the wood. You do not, the table itself is yours, and you're cutting of the wood, you just pay the value. Mash'enkein, if it's a minor change, if it's something which is not, doesn't rise to a level of shinoi, or perhaps even shinoi achayzer, then there, that's not a kinyan. So the Shitug Mikubetze says, B'shem Rabbeinu Yoinison, and the Chumash Hadeshins move over like this as well, you only say Umun Kanya Shavah Kli when it is a shinoi, when there's a material change. If it's not, if the car is fine, I go ahead and just make some minor change, even though there was an increase in value, even though there's Shavah Kli, but since it hasn't changed, I don't become a partner in it, and there you do not say Umun Kanya Shavah Kli. So your point is true, but I think in this particular case, it would be a shinoi by a ganev and for Ruman Kain for these purposes as well. Okay, fair enough point. I'll hold off on that. We'll get back to that for a moment. We'll have to discuss what it really means. Are you really a partner with the owner? Is it a regular shutvis? We'll see, not like that. But it's a fair enough point. We'll get back to that. We'll get back to that.
When the Maisa Kinyan.
More than that, what is the Maisa Kinyan?
What is the Maisa?
Good, good. All right. Good, good. All valid points. Let's just develop it piece by piece. So this is the question of Uman Kaina Shvakli. When you're hired as a Kablin to improve something, do we look at it as nothing more than you're paid for your labor, but the improvement belongs to the owner? Or do we say no? When you're improving it, you're basically working for yourself, you're improving it for yourself, and then later on, you essentially sell that improvement to the owner. Now the Gemara points out there are two nafkaminas. The first is the Inyan Baltalin. We know if you hire a worker, then you have to pay him on time. If you don't pay him on time, there's a mitzvah say of Yom Titin Tzcharei. If you don't pay him on time, you're over a lav. So that is when you hire a poyel. You're paying him for wages for his time. Clearly, that would be baltala. What happens by a koblin? You hire him to fix the car. You hire him to make a painting for you. So the Gemara says it depends whether uman koyne shvach kli. If you hold ein uman koyne shvach kli, which means the improvement belongs to the owner. So why are you paying the Kamblin? You're paying him for his labor. In that case, he is the same thing as a poyel. He's simply getting paid. The payment is simply wages for his efforts, for his time, and there Baltalin would apply. However, if you hold Uman Koyne Shvachkli, then the nature of this transaction is very different. When you hire someone to make a painting, he's really painting it, in a sense, for himself. The improvement that he's creating, the value that he's creating is his. When he delivers the painting to you, essentially, he's selling that painting to you. He's selling that improvement to you. In that case, that is doyma tu mekach umemka. That's a sale. A sale, as we learned, does not have baltalin. And therefore, if you hold uman koyne shvach kli, there would be no baltalin. The other nafkamina is b'negea hezek that we just discussed. If you create the painting, you fix the car, and then you destroy it. So if ein uman koyne shvachli, so as you improve the car, whose value, who owned the improvements, the value of the improvements? If ein uman koyne shvachli, it belongs to the car, owner of the car. If the uman then goes ahead, gets into a mood, takes an axe and smashes the car, or if it gets stolen, although again, we'll see, we'll just revisit that in a moment, if it gets stolen, the owner is entitled to the full value, and he'll pay the uman for the work that he did. But that improvement belonged to the owner. Ma'ashenkin, if you hold uman koine shvachkli, in that case, when the uman went ahead and fixed the car, that extra value belonged to him. If for some reason he gets into a mood and decides to destroy the car, he never delivers that extra value to the owner, the owner can't bill him for that value, never belonged to the owner, it was always the uman's. And in that case, the uman would be potter. He'd only be responsible to pay the value of the car that was given to him. So if you hold uman koine shvachkli in the case of the car, all he'd have to pay is the value of the heap of metal that was given to him in the beginning. If you hold ein uman koine shvachkli, since then we look at the improvement as being belonging to the owner. If he's mazik it or if something happens afterwards, you have to reimburse him for the full value of the car at the time that it was at the time that he was mazik it. When we say uman koyne shvachkli, so the Ktzayis asks, you know, there are different ways of dealing of approaching it, but what kind of kinyan is this? What makes it yours? What makes it the owner's? To the extent that we say uman koyne shvachkli, that means when the mechanic takes this piece of metal and improves it and fixes it and makes it into a valuable car. If Umankalin Shvach Kli, can the mechanic say, you know what, I changed my mind, I don't want to sell it to you? Can you raise the price? Can you say, I'm going to keep it for myself? Here's your $500, here's the value of the car that you gave me, and I'll keep it, and I'll keep it for myself. So Zak the Ktsayis, he says, the Ktsayis is mechiyah from these questions, from other questions. He says, Uman Kohen Shvach Kli cannot be taken literally. It doesn't mean that the actual Kli belongs to the Uman, it's his, you're a partner with him. He says you have a kinyan like a mashkin. Just like a mashkin, if you lend someone money, he gives you collateral. So you have a bachloiv koin a mashkin. You have a schus in the collateral. You can hold on to it. You don't have to return it until you actually get paid. Zak the Ktsayis, the whole point of Uman Koin Shvach Kli, why is this Uman suddenly becoming a partner in my car? The answer is he expects to get paid. When you improve an item for pay, Zak the Ktsayis, that improvement you have a schusin, a mashkin, to hold that back until you actually get paid. And therefore, when we say Uman Kohen Shvach Kli, we don't mean it's completely yours, you can decide not to sell it, you can keep it, you can give it to someone else. It just means you have a kinyan in it similar to a mashkin, you can hold it back until you get paid. Now, based on this, it comes out, according to the Ktsayis, a tremendous chiddush. A mechanic that goes ahead and says, for $3,000, I'm going to fix the car for you. So, if you hold Uman Kohen Shvach Kli, if he repairs the car, and then he's mazik, it gets stolen. So even though the car at the time when it was fixed was worth $7,000, nevertheless, Uman Kohen Shvach Kli, he only pays you the value of the... of what. Zog Tuk Tzoyis, what would be, if he's a nice fellow, he knows you're struggling a bit, you can't really afford to pay the car, to fix the car, and good friend of yours, he tells you, you know what, I'll fix the car for free. You pay me for the actual parts, but that's it. All the labor, I'm gonna repair the car for free. He goes ahead, he fixes the car, and instead of he wasn't not gonna get paid $3,000, you're just gonna give him $1,000 for the actual parts, and then his mazikit or gets stolen. What will be in that case? Zok the Ktsayis, if Uman Kohen Shvach Kli is only that it's a mashkin, it's a lien for your wages. That's very nice when you have wages. If you're doing it as a chesed, you're doing it. You're not charging him. Zok the Ktsayis doesn't make sense. Uman Kohen Shvach Kli. What do you? It's a lien for what? What? Okay. So he paid you for the parts. Comes out according to the Ktsayis that if you Uman Kohen Shvach Kli, if you're charging the person for the work, and then it goes ahead, and after it's fixed, it gets destroyed, you're off the hook. Uman Kohen Shvach Kli, your thing got destroyed, and you only pay the value of the salvage car that he gave you. My Sheinkin, if you're doing it as a chesed, you're not charging him. If you're not charging him, there's no Uman Kohen Shvach Kli. In that case, Zok the Ktsayis, everyone would agree the improvement would belong to the owner, and you end up having to pay him the full value. So the fact that you were being a Baal Chesed in this case is going to work against you. Again, we'll see in the Nesivas argues, but this is the Shita of the Ktsayis. Now, using this Lamdus, or this Havana, that Uman Kohen Shvach Kli doesn't mean you're actually a partner. It simply means that you have a lien. Zok the Ktsayis. If the owner is ready to pay you your wages, then just like a mashkin, if you borrow money from someone and give him collateral, the moment you pay him back, he can't say, you know what, but I really like this, you know, this necklace that you gave me for collateral. So I'm going to keep the collateral. You can't do that. The moment he pays you back the loan, then automatically the kinyan of the mashkin goes away. Zok the Ktsayis, the same thing is true by Uman Kohen Shvach Kli. The moment the owner comes and pays you for that improvement, then it automatically will belong, the owner will get back the item. It doesn't require any special kinyan. It will memelo belong to the owner. Now, using this, the Ktsayis actually uses this to answer the Pnei Yeshua's kasha. There's a discussion, what is the halach of a child writes a get? Child writes a get. So let's assume that it was the husband's ink, it was the husband's paper, and the child actually wrote the get. Now, the child that wrote the get is a koblin. He gets paid whatever it is, a certain amount, $500 to write the get. Now, the problem is, to give a get has to belong to the husband. If you hold Uman Kanya Shvach Kli, we have a problem. Because the child wrote the get, Uman Kanya Shvach Kli. He's now a shutif. This get belongs partially to him. What? Well, again, you can't do when you have to do some sort of ma'isa kinyan, perhaps. But if Uman Kanya Shvach Kli, there's a svara that when you create the value, that value belongs to the person that created it, then you don't need any special das. The child is the one that created the shvach, and therefore Uman Meil will belong to him. You don't need any special. Correct. He created. His creation is not worse than a gadol. When you have to buy something, meshicha, hagbah, you need that's a mice that needs das. So there's a difference between a child and a gadol. Mashenkein, if being fixing something itself gives you rights or schosim in the improvement, the same way that a gadol fixed it, the child fixed it. So the tzoyis, zok the tzoyis, with this yisoid, we now have a very simple answer. The whole what's the problem that Uman Kanya Shvach Kli, this get belongs to a cotton? And how is he mocking it to the husband? That's a good kasha if you hold that it really belongs to the child. Ma'ashein kein, zok the tzoyis, if it's only a mashkin, if it's only a lien. So if a child, if you owe money to a child, say you owe money to the father died, and there was a mashkin. The moment you pay you're ready to pay back the loan, even Nesina Bal Karchoi will work. You don't need his haskama, you don't need his das, you don't need his akna. And therefore, the moment you pay for the get, then automatically it will belong to the husbands. And the husband in Zakhtuk Tzayis, that's why this is not a problem. Because even if Uman Kanya Shvach Kli, a child that writes the get could give it over as soon as he gets paid. So this is the shita of the Ktzois, that it's nothing more than a mashkin, it's collateral, and therefore you don't need a hakna, even by a child it will work, and it works by karachai, when the owner pays for it, it may belong to him. And the first chiddush that we mentioned, if you're doing it for free, or for that matter, if you prepaid for the services, so there's no concept of a mashkin, it's not mashkin for what? He doesn't owe you anything, and therefore the Ktzai says in such a case, the idea of Uman Kanya Shvach Kli will not apply. So this is the shita of the Ktzai. The Nesivus brings down a Rajba that says, he doesn't necessarily argue on the Ktzai, but he's being moisif in the idea of Uman Kanya Shvach Kli. And he says it's true. On one level, it's a collateral, you can hold it back until you get paid. But he brings down Mishem the Rajba that there's another svar of Uman Kanya Shvach Kli. And he said, and that is that when an Uman is fixing something, he says, Al pi svara, an Uman is not going ahead, investing effort, improving the item, just so that if he goes ahead and by mistake he's mazik it afterwards, you can now hit him not only for the damage of the item that you gave him, but also for the improvements that he made. The Chazonish says it's just not mistavra in Das Bnei Adam that if I'm improving it, I'm not improving it and letting you use that improvement against me. And therefore, Zok the Rajba that Uman Kanya Shvach Kli, besides the fact that it's a collateral, it's a lien for your wages, it's also a svara. I'm not being mocking it, I'm withholding it, I'm keeping it for myself, so that if I'm mazik it, I shouldn't have to pay. Now, on that, the Nesiva says, that svara certainly does not only apply if you're paid to improve it. Certainly, if someone who's getting paid to do work, the das is, he's not giving the owner the improvement for the owner to be able to turn around and send him a bill if he's mazik, then kolshkin, the kolshkin, when he's doing it as a chesed, he doesn't want to get nailed for the chesed. And therefore, Zok the Nesivus, even if he's doing it, even if he's not charging for it at all, nevertheless, Uman Kanya Shvach Kli, he doesn't want to give it over to you because he doesn't want to expose himself to the risk that if anything happens, he's going to be responsible to pay the owner for the improvement that he just created. And therefore, we say, no, Uman Kanya Shvach Kli, that it belongs to him. Correct, because once you gave it to him, once you delivered it, now it's his. And the Nesivus' point is that while you still have it, it's still in your reshus, and the Nesivus really adds, until you got paid, where you're still in the process, you're still working on it, you're not ready to make that improvement for his benefit. The Nesivus agrees that once you get paid, He says, once you get paid, he says it'll belong to the owner. And the Nesivus actually adds, even if I don't give it to you, if you pay me for it, then the Nesivus says the payment itself will be a kinyan. Even though normally mois are not kinyan, because in the Nesivus of Chitach HaBa'aliyah, Sivas has his cheshbon why that cheshash doesn't apply over here. The moment you get paid, there will be a kinyan. The Rashba is being moisif. There's additional rights. You have the right to, I guess, withhold it to avoid being chayev for hezek. The Mashan brings down a kol yo that this is takana derabanan. Like, although he's mdaik from others that argue. Chazonish says, like I said before, it's das bnei adam yoyre teyre l'seiv daita, because he's bothered by this kasha. How does this kinyan happen? He says, teyre is being yoyre l'seiv daita. This is what happens. The uman is not ready to give it to the owner to expose himself to this liability, and the owner accepts that because, you know, when he pays for it, when he gets it, it'll be his. But until then, he's happy to get back the value that he gave you. That whole discussion of uman kinyan shvach kli, there are really two points we have to make. The first is it applies only to an uman, to a koblin. You're paying him for a job. You commission a painter, so you're paying him for the completed product. In that case, there's room to say uman kinyan shvach kli. I'm essentially going to buy the completed painting off him. Mashiach Kain, if I'm paying him for his time, he gets paid X amount of dollars per hour to paint for me, nothing to do with the result. There, I'm clearly paying him for his wages. I'm basically buying his time. Whatever he produces in that time will belong to me. So the whole discussion is by a koblin. I'm paying him for the completed product. There, there's argument that we can look at it as a purchase. Mashiach Kain, if I'm paying you by the hour, this svara will not apply. That's the first point. The second point is that, let's go to the mechanic case. The car belongs to me, or at least this salvage, this hunk of metal belongs to me. When I hire the mechanic, so if all he's doing is he's putting it in his shop and straightening it out, it's only labor. So we can discuss uman kinyan shvach kli. What happens if he has to put in a new transmission? What happens if he has to put in a new engine? Even if we hold ein uman kinyan shvach kli, whose transmission is it? Whose engine is it? It belongs to him. He put it in. What makes it? Well, how does it become mine? Putting something in a car that belongs to me is not a kinyan. There's a kinyan mashiach. There's a kinyan hagbah. There's a kinyan kesef. But the fact that it was put into my car or improved, how does that make? How does that change the ownership of the transmission or of the engine? The answer is, and it's more in Kedushin Nemches, and Nesivus over here points it out, and Echanami. If the Uman takes something of value, of distinct value, an engine, and puts it in the car, the engine certainly belongs to the Uman. Until I make a kinyan on it, it's not the owner's engine. Good. You're dealing with, if the Uman is taking his item, and it's still be'en, it's still there, so then this whole discussion doesn't really apply. The transmission belongs to him. Where it's negay is where he has labor, or, this is a little bit more dachistic, what happens if he puts in a transmission? The transmission itself costs $700. By him putting it in the car, because of the labor, and because now it's a working car, the car goes up in value by $2,000. So if you want to know who owns the transmission, that certainly belongs to the mechanic. It's his transmission, no kinyan took place, there was never a transfer. The discussion of uman kinyan shvach kli is going to be a discussion of what happens to that extra value that when you put the transmission and the car together, and now it works, there's an increase, the car is now worth more. There we can clear uman kinyan shvach kli. But the actual raw material, assuming it's still be'en, that if it belonged to the uman beforehand, it still will belong to him, and that's a regular mekachu memkar, and until there's a kinyan, that certainly will still belong to the uman. No, the case of uman kinyan shvach kli is when he does labor, when he does work, where it's his efforts make the improvement. Now, there are two possible cases. One case is where he's only doing work, although, you know, all the raw materials belong to the owner, and he's the one that goes ahead. He takes the wood and he shapes it, he carves it. So there's shvach kli. Again, we'll qualify that in a moment. The other possibility is if he gives his item, but it's not just the value of his item, now the whole thing becomes worth more. That extra, that incremental increase in value, we can discuss uman kinyan shvach kli or not.
If he doesn't call it, how, by default, the original owner calls it? By bittul, like you're saying? Or how does it, there's still an improvement?
No, so the, like this. The transmission itself, he's not going to be kinyan until he makes a kinyan. But his, because if his car is worth more. You don't need a kinyan on value. The argument to say the other way is, the car belonged to me, this hunk of metal. Now this hunk of metal, because of its, because it now is drivable, people will pay more for it. I don't need a new kinyan to be kind of the extra value. My thing now is drivable, and therefore that value belongs to me. The chiddush is the other way, that an uman, because he made that improvement, can have a schus in that added value. If you're an uman, if you're hired to put on a roof, and you're getting paid a flat amount, so the nesivism of war, you do say uman koine shvachli by karka. So if you hire a contractor to build an addition to your house, or to redo your kitchen, so if you hold uman koine shvachli, he is now a partner to a degree in this kitchen. According to the Ktsari, it's only a mashkin. Yeah, correct. That's true. But it won't be collateral because. But in a chanami, so you hired him to do the work. He did the work. If he did it right, then you have to pay him for it. Now, just for a case which apparently a person had baked matzah or had to bought some matzahs. A child is the one that actually baked the matzah or baked part of the matzah. So he wants to know if uman koino shvach kli. So kli doesn't have to be a car, it's a painting. It could be a matz piece of food also. So you took flour and water, and this through this child's effort, it now is a matzah. So uman koino shvach kli. So he wants to know, can you mekayim the mitzvah of matzah, of your lochem, if it has to be yours, how you koine it from the child? So this is really the same question that we just discussed from the Ktzayis and the Pnei Yeshua. According to the Ktzayis, that even if uman koine shvach kli, you don't need a kinyan to buy it from him. It's just a lien. Once you pay him, you can automatically it automatically becomes yours. So in such a case as well, as long as you pay the child, it'll be yours. Now in truth, this whole question is usually not relevant because we pointed out uman koine shvach kli is only by a kabbalin. When you tell a child, you go ahead, I'll pay you, $3 to make the matzah for me. So there we can discuss uman koine shvach kli. On the other hand, if he's working, he's getting paid by the hour, he's a laborer, he's a poyel, schir yoim, in that case, the idea of uman koine shvach kli doesn't apply. And therefore, normally, people who bake matzahs don't get paid per matzah, they're getting paid for their time. So there, the discussion really, really does not start. According to the Ktzayis, there's no uman koine shvach kli. According to the Nesivos, there is. Okay, mistama, yes. You can't be koine bar karchai. And the truth is, there's a discussion, if you prepay, so according to the Ktzayis, no uman koine shvach kli, because there's not a mashkan or anything. According to the Nesivos, there really should be. Because according to the Nesivos, you have the svar of the Rajba. According to the Nesivos, when you pay someone normally, kesef is koine. The problem is when you're prepaying, if you need the kinyan of kesef to make it yours, when you're prepaying, you can't make a kinyan kesef on a loy baloyla. The improvement isn't here. So that's so some want to suggest, according to the Nesivos, you prepay, you still will have uman koine shvach kli because there's no hakana. The answer, the reason why this probably isn't true is that in a chanami, it's not a kinyan in that case, but since we're talking about before you started work, when you started the work, you did it, you didn't do adas for yourself, you did adas the bailim, so then it's mistava, you're like a schir yoim, and you're not kinyan in the first place. So in a chanami, the child works and says lahedya, I'm doing it, I'm not doing it for myself, I'm doing it for you, mistama, there'll be no kinyan. No, I don't think it would be, if we need mechila, then a child can't be meichel. If the point is, I'm not doing it for myself, I'm not, just like if you'd be a poyel, then whatever improvements he's making is, memela belongs to the owner, because it's his thing and he's getting paid for his wages. He's essentially saying, I'm going to be a poyel, they're going to pay me for this amount per job instead of per hour. So I don't think it's a lumnus of mechila, this is the definition of our relationship. Okay, a poyel is when you're paying him by the hour, even though you have an expectation, but you're paying him for the time, that's a poyel. A kabbalin is I'm paying you for the finished product. Now, to a certain degree, if I hire a poyel and he sits there twiddling his thumbs the 58 minutes of the hour, I'm not going to pay him because he didn't work. But if he does work, but for some reason it doesn't get produced, it's not his fault, he's going to get paid because he was supposed to put in the time, he put in the time. A kabbalin, if he doesn't produce, even though it's not his fault, if he doesn't produce, normally will not get paid because there's no finished product. So that's the difference between a payel and a kablin. It's true. Every payel, you pay him based on what you expect him to produce. And every kablin, his wages are probably somewhat tied into how much time it is, but the question is, what's the deal and what's just the underlying cheshbin or hope? Now, as far as halacha l'maisa, umun kol yishvach kli, the mechaber paskins that ein umun kol yishvach kli, which means, according to the mechaber, the increase in value belongs to the owner. Dehainu, if the car gets stolen from the mechanic, or the mechanic is mazik it afterwards, the mechanic is going to have to pay the owner the full value of the $7,000 car. He'll get his wages, he'll subtract his wages perhaps, but that's it. Because he improved it, it belonged to the owner. There, the owner is the one that gets that shvach, that gets that improvement. This is the psak of the mechaber. Benegea baltolin as well. A kablin is subject to baltolin. That's consistent. The shach, on the other hand, says it is a seka didina. He brings down many rishonim that conclude that hold uman is kind of shvachli, and therefore, at the end of the day, he says it's a seka didina. The muchzik is going to win. In a case of a the mechanic, assuming that he is the muchzik because he's the one, because the owner is asking him to pay, he can say kimli that umun koinu shvachli, and therefore he would only have to pay the value, the $500 value of the piece of metal that he was given. He would not have to pay the value of the increase.